listeners, and welcome to our podcast series, A Look into Multicultural Education. I'm going to be your host, Kaylin Blizzard. I am a senior at Shawnee State University. So basically, this podcast series will be a look into the cultural autobiography of a Miss Megan McCow, who I have sitting right here beside me. I'm going to let her introduce herself, and then I will get to explaining, and we will get started.
Hi, my name is Megan McCow, as Kaylin mentioned. I'm also going into my senior year here at Shawnee State University. I am studying early childhood special education, and through this podcast series, I hope you get a further look into who I am as a person, who I've become, and who I plan to become as an educator. So I hope you enjoy this series, like I said, and Kaylin will have the stages and help me interviewing process, and let's get going.
All right, thank you. So for our first stage of the four stages in the four-part series, we are going to talk about regression. So that is a turn to the autobiographical and the educational past of Megan. So my role here is I'm just going to get the conversation rolling, and we're going to address some topics or some terms that Megan is going to define for us here, and we're going to try to talk about some past experiences she's had that might have shaped who she is now. Our first term that we're going to talk about is race.
Okay, so race to me is anything, anyone, how they identify with their physical characteristics. So the bone structure, the hair color, eye color, skin color, I think this is how people perceive someone. So this is how I define race, is the physical characteristics of someone.
So race and ethnicity play a huge role with each other. So how do you define ethnicity?
Ethnicity I see as the cultural factors that come up with someone. So their nationality, their regional culture, ancestries, part of their language. A lot of ethnicities will have different traditions that play a role in who they are as well. I think, in my own personal beliefs, I think you can have more than one ethnicity, but one race.
Okay, so I'm going to lead into another point. How do you define region?
Okay, so I define region as, it comes up with three things. So geographical, cultural, and economical. I said three, but it's also four if you count the historical parts of the nature, which I play a part of geographical. So it's where you come from, the people, the land, the jobs. It's a part of who you are. The region plays a part of who you are as a person. So,
okay, so since we talked about your region and the race and ethnicity, what was the makeup, like the racial ethnic makeup of where you were from?
So I've grew up in Kentucky basically my whole life, but I started, I was born in Massachusetts, and I went to a Catholic school, a private Catholic school. Most of us were the same there. I don't remember. I was very young. But we all looked the same. We were white, same uniforms in the school system. We were all very close and friendly with one another. But on the outside of my school, like I said, Boston, Massachusetts, it's very diverse up north. I never really knew anything different, because when I was so young, all I knew was go to school and my neighbors were the same from the same little neighborhood. But when I was 7 years old, I moved to Kentucky to get closer to family, and Kentucky is completely different in the aspect of region. My aunts and uncles were from the Union, the hardworking class. Even though I didn't get a difference in like the race of people, the ethnicity, the cultural factors of Kentucky is completely different. I consider like Southern Belles and hospitality is even different. I feel a little bit like it's made me a part of who I am, and realizing the aspects of my ethnicity and my race, and it plays a part of kind of like how I've adapted to things.
I understand that completely. We're being raised completely Southern in a very Southern family. I know what that Southern hospitality is like. So I heard you mention like moving to this town and being involved with aunts and uncles of a certain social class. So how do you define social class?
Okay, so it was very eye-opening, even though at a young age. Social class to me, as I understand it now, I know we're talking about the past, but being so young, I don't think kids understand social class. I think it kind of goes over their head. But right now, I would define social class as the group of people within your society who make up the economic status. So a kind of backstory, looking back, I never realized how hard it was on my parents. Moving to Kentucky, both my parents were disabled due to health issues and stuff going on. Around us, it's a little rural area. I noticed people, there was big houses and there was little houses. That's all I knew as a kid. But now I understand that people live differently. And even though I lived in one of those big houses and I went to a really well-known school, I was part of the social class as to where I see now that struggled. We weren't below poverty line or anything, but my parents had trouble making ends meet with bills and I remember eviction notices being posted on our door or almost going bankrupt and having to go through drive-thrus and find quarters and pennies and nickels or whatever to pay for ball games because my sister and I didn't understand why we couldn't get the $5 to make it into the games. But my parents, they did anything they could to make us happy. So,
I know you personally, so this might be a little easier to talk about, but how did religion play a role in that socioeconomic status that you had?
So religion is a big part of who I am. I consider myself a Christian. I studied in the Nazarene Church. I go to a Nazarene Church. Like I said, I grew up in a small area, so I never really knew anything different other than like Christianity. And now that I've gotten older, I've learned the different branches. But my system of faith and worship, as I define religion, would be, I study the Nazarene part. I study Christianity and with, I don't know, I think it's hard to explain. I know there's a bunch of different religions, but Christianity is a big part of who I am.
So have you ever had experiences with other religions, like in your community or in the schools that you went to?
So, yes, I have. Even though I grew up in a small town area, I had a friend who was Jewish, and I would go over to her house, and they would practice different things than what I would do at my house. And I never really asked questions, and I wish I would have now looking back. I didn't ask questions. I just knew she was Jewish and that she practiced different things than me. But that didn't change that we weren't friends.
Okay. So on a different note, kind of, how do you view sexual orientation?
So sexual orientation, I think it has to do with how someone identifies themselves. So whether it be, relation to gender in which they are attracted. So heterosexual and homosexual, or bisexual is all I knew growing up. I just knew that either, I knew that there was differences between how people thought, but in my household, my parents never really taught me or my twin sister about people liking other different people. I just knew it was a man and a woman until I got a little bit older, maybe in high school and even middle school. Friends were coming out, and I think I was in middle school or going into high school when same-sex marriage became a thing. So that's has to do with the sexual orientation.
Okay, and then on from sexual orientation, how do you view gender? Because those two play a big role with one another.
Right. So gender, like I said, growing up, I had a hard time realizing that it was real. Like I wasn't really adapted to more than one gender. I just thought it was male or female. But now I see a combination of both physically and emotional aspects of it. So I define gender as a combination of both noun and pronouns, roles that are constructed to represent someone's association with who they claim they are, who they are as a person.
So do you think that in your experiences that you've noticed like different expectations for boys and girls regarding their behavior?
Oh, absolutely. Growing up, whether it be gym class, outside, even even at my friend's house, boys in the household would get treated differently. Oh, they're boys, they can do that. Or boys will be boys, like the saying. There's no excuses for it, I don't think. Like, it just kind of is like a thing we believe and we've grown up to believe. Even I've said it, like, I'll admit that. Like, oh, boys will be boys, but I don't know why we make these excuses as to why. It's like we're creating an excuse for them to be exceptionalized, or it's hard to explain. I think boys and girls get the different images, but boys can do anything girls can do, and girls can do anything boys can do. That's where I'm just going to leave that.
Okay. So I heard you say exceptionalized boys, but definitely a different note. But what is your view on children with exceptionalities? Or what past experiences have you had with that?
Okay, so exceptionality, I think, like I said, I was going to be a special education teacher. So I've been studying how to incorporate inclusivity within the classroom. And this is my definition. Exceptionality are individuals who have disabilities or who are very gifted who just need additional services. There's nothing very different other than the accommodations that need to be put in place in a school system.
Okay, so what are some experiences you've had with those exceptionalities?
Let's see. Growing up in elementary school, I had a student in my classroom who was deaf, and his name was Evan, and I was about 8 years old, and this is when I realized that I was confused as to why he wasn't like us. He had a translator, and to communicate with my friend Evan, I had to go through my two different teachers just to talk to him and have a conversation. Now looking back, I wish, I know it's hard, like I can't wish my teacher would have learned something, but I wish I would have understood why my teacher needed a translator. Why could she not like learn sign language? And I'm sure she did as the class went along and everything, but I just wish I would have been able to communicate with Evan more. Because I know, like I said, I was 8 years old. I could have picked up sign language, but it's hard for a little kid to understand what's actually going on. But other than, I just knew him as my deaf friend, Evan. But there's more to him than that, so.
Beautiful. So, speaking of communication, our last topic that we're going to hit today is language. How does that be defined?
So, language, I think it plays a role of the region, the ethnicity, the race, and who you are. It's the spoken or written communication that comes from these very many different aspects of who you are as a person.
Okay, and then just to wrap up, after we've discussed all these past experiences and all these terms, how do you think that all of this has influenced your educational experience till now? How do you feel like you would define yourself as a person
from these experiences? I think I would define myself as a growth. I'm very open-minded now. Back then, and even I've had to adjust myself this semester. As a child, I didn't get the experiences that I wish I could have. But it's made me who a part of I am, and these terms and topics that I've just discussed with you play a huge part in who I hope to become as a future educator.
Awesome. Okay, well, as from what I can tell, I think that these have led you into becoming a beautiful and very talented educator that we're going to see in the field someday. I'd like to thank all of you for listening today. That wraps up our Stage 1, Podcast 1 for Regression. We hope to see you tune in next time for Stage 2, and we will be talking with Megan again soon. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.